God's Little Brown Church Sermon Series featuring Pastor Andrew Chrysler.
Praise the Lord. So, we just had a little bit of computer issues for those listening online. Those that don't know, I was a computer tech for 30 years, so computer glitches are part of the pride busting. Praise God. I want to talk this morning about having confidence in Christ. Found the quote that we have on the front of the bulletin. It says, "Our confidence in Christ does not make us lazy, negligent, or careless, but on the contrary, it awakens us, urges us on, and makes us active in living righteous lives and doing good. There is no self-confidence to compare with this." When we realize where God brought us from, when we remind ourselves what the Lord has done, I don't know about you, but I get such an overwhelming sense of gratitude. David said, "I know my faults and my sin is always before me." We can look back and see where God has brought us from. We can declare, "Ebenezer, this far the Lord has been with me." We can just rejoice in the fact that the God who knit us together in our mother's womb, who knows everything about us, has us engraved in the palm of His hands. Nothing comes into our life that doesn't come through with His permission. Sometimes we don't understand why God allows things to happen in our lives that He does. I don't know about you, my Bible has some question marks in it. But I have this promise that one day I will know even as also I am known. And in the meantime, I know that God is at work in my life. I know that God loves me. I know He's paying attention to the things that go on. I've talked about this many times over the years, how sometimes you'll be asking a question or just being in conversation with somebody, and a short while after that, it could be a few minutes, it could be the next day, all of a sudden you'll hear something on the radio or something will pop up that's an answer just to what you were talking about. Or we'll sit here and we'll go through scriptures this morning and we'll talk about some of the things. And then later, driving down the road listening to Christian radio, I will hear these same scriptures being brought up by other ministers. Now, in some denominations and some groups, they have a list of this Sunday you're going to preach on this and this Sunday you're going to preach on this. But as an independent church, we are affiliated with Global Christian Ministry Forum. But as an independent church, I don't have a list telling me what I'm going to preach on. In fact, I generally don't know what I'm going to preach on until about Wednesday. There have been times I didn't know what I was going to preach on until Sunday or until Saturday night. And there's also been a time where I came in with the message and nope, just turned it over and went someplace else. Because God is the one who leads and guides our steps. It's the Holy Spirit that fills our mouth. And God knows exactly what we need. So I want to talk this morning about having confidence in Christ. We started last week doing our identity in Christ, and I got through two whole scripture passages. I got through the first page, almost. Never made it through the next page. So I figured I would start there with the next page, and nope, I have two pieces of two of the scriptures we were going to use last week. And then everything else is completely different. But I want to talk about having our confidence in Christ. Paul says, "I know in whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed to him until the day of judgment." Jim Elliot, a missionary to South America who was killed on the mission field, is famously quoted as saying, "He is no fool who gives that which he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose." As we have commit our lives to the Lord, knowing, Jesus said, we can't by taking thought add a cubit to our height. I can't instantly become 18 inches taller. Praise God. Or 15 inches taller. That length. We can't instantly do that. We can't change the color of our hair without getting out a bottle. We can't do those things. We can't make these differences in our lives. So if we can't do that, we don't know how many days we have. We don't know what today is going to bring. But God sees all things and knows all things. So if we commit our lives to Him, it's up to Him what He does with it. 1 John 1, we'll start with verse 3. Verses 1 and 2 talk about is just the greeting. John says, verse 3, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. These things we write to you that your joy may be full. He starts off by saying, we have fellowship with Jesus and we want to encourage you so that your joy can be full. So that you can be encouraged, so that you can be lifted up. Knowing that as you come in fellowship with us, our fellowship is with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. Verse 5, this is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Stop right there for just a second. What John just says is, if we claim to be followers of God and our life doesn't reflect it, maybe there's a problem. We lie and don't do the truth. Verse 6. No, that was verse 6. Verse 7. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Who here is grateful to be cleansed from all sin? If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. John telling the church, look, as we walk in fellowship with God, those old things are passed away. We have newness of life. We walk in light and we have fellowship and our lives will reflect it. And if our lives don't reflect it, there's a problem. But if we confess it, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Praise God. There's the way to draw close to God. A sure formula. This is how you get close to God. Walk with Him, confess your sin, draw closer, recognize I can't fix me, but Lord, I need fixing. Lord, help me. Change me. And we draw close to Him by recognizing that He is the only one that can take care of us. He is the only one that can guide us. He knows what's coming. We don't know what today's going to bring. Deb and I had been down in Burlington area yesterday. Noon time down there. It was sunny. Okay, it was dry. That quickly changed. And as we're coming up through the islands, as we got just past the ferry road in South Hero, the very first curve, there's a car over in the ditch. There's a couple of fire trucks there. There's state police there. Grand Isle Sheriff is there. Car in a ditch. Having been in a car in a ditch, I can tell you it generally comes very suddenly and is a surprise. And sometimes it's very painful. Things happen in our lives in an instant. Since we can't change anything, our confidence has to come in the fact that no matter what comes into my life, it comes through the hand of a God who loves me, who has called me out of darkness into his marvelous light, who is at work in me, who is using me to do his will, who has called me to be a faithful witness in this place. Not just this church, but this community, this state, this country, this this continent. I'm here because God put me here. God knit us together in our mother's womb, knows everything about us. As we read through the genealogies, I've talked about this before, that I had an epiphany one day, or the Holy Spirit spoke to me one day, and it was in the middle of service. There was a lady visiting here whose sister attended at the time. That was the only time this lady had ever been in the church, was this one Sunday morning. And I was talking about how when I was a missionary and we were on our way to Israel, and we were in the Ukraine, and we're passing out Bibles, and they're taking the Bibles and ripping them in half so that they can share with people. And I said, how would you like to be the person that got the genealogies? But if all of God's word is truth, what can the genealogies teach us? And then all of a sudden, I knew. The genealogies tell us that God knows our past. God knows our family. God knows what it took to get us here. And as I shared that this morning, or that morning, as we talked and went on with the service, later, that woman called her sister and said, you know, this morning I was reading in my Bible and I came to the genealogies and I said, God, why did you even put those in there? And your pastor had an answer to a question that he didn't know I had. We don't know how God is using us in the lives of people around us. Our confidence in Christ comes from knowing that no matter what we face, no matter what we go through, no matter what we endure, no matter what the circumstances seem to be, the God who is working in our lives and the God who is using us to work in the lives of others is at work in the circumstances, weaving that tapestry, answering the questions that we don't know that are out there, using us to point someone to Him. Scripture tells us, I believe it's in James, that God wants to hold us up as trophies of His grace. Now, in the King James Version, it's not worded that way. I don't remember exactly how it's worded, but that's what the passage says. That He can use us to demonstrate His grace to the people around us. Holds us up as trophies of His grace. Galatians 3, beginning with verse 26. Says, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many as you were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. If we have accepted Jesus, if we have relied upon Him as the payment, the propitiation for our sin, if we have, as it says in Isaiah 53, if we claim His soul as a sacrifice for sin, Him, the Father, looks down and sees Him, Jesus, standing in our stead and is satisfied. Then we stand before a holy God righteous. We stand before a holy God perfect. We stand before a holy God sanctified. And we're all equal. And we're heirs of the promise, heirs and joint heirs with Christ Jesus. All the inheritance of heaven is ours. All of the inheritance of heaven, all of the benefits of His righteousness is ours. Not because of who I am, but because of who He is. And because I am adopted into the family of God, I am a member of the body of Christ, member in particular. Doesn't mean I have all the answers. Doesn't even mean I have most of them. But what it means is God is using me and God is knitting us all together, making us all one body in Christ Jesus. We all need each other. We all encourage each other. We all lift each other up. We all strengthen one another. We comfort those who mourn. We rejoice with those who rejoice. We come together in fellowship and companionship, knowing that God is the one who's at work and who's doing it in us in the first place. That we can take no credit for it. Nor do we want to, because we want to walk in the fellowship. 2 Peter 1, beginning with verse 1. Says, I, Simon Peter, no, it says, Simon Peter, a bondservant of an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Stop right there for just a second. Peter says, hey, the things we have, the righteousness that we have received comes through faith, comes through believing. We have obtained that like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and our Savior Jesus Christ. It's God working in us. He continues on, verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. As His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who has called us by glory and virtue. Stop right there for just a second. We have all things pertaining to life and godliness because it's a gift of God. All things pertaining to life and godliness because of the fact that we are in Christ. Do you ever feel like you're insufficient? Individually, yes. You know, it's one thing to believe God can do wonderful things. It's something else to believe God can do wonderful things through you. I've struggled with that. I had a young person who used to attend here many years ago. Spoke here a few times. I remember him saying that he is proof that God still uses donkeys. If God can use a pagan king to encourage a prophet and God can use a donkey to rebuke a prophet, what can't God do through you? All we have to be is willing to be vessels for the Lord. We have to be willing to let Him do it. You've heard the statement, those of you that think you've let God down, whoever told you you were holding God up? God is God all by Himself. Yet He chooses to work in your life and in my life because He loves us. He chooses to bring us into fellowship because it is His plan. Not because I'm so good or you're so good, but because of who He is. And He made us for fellowship. He made us for relationship. He made us for companionship. And desires, and made the way when there was no way. When Adam and Eve in the garden decided that they weren't going to do things the way God said. When they got confronted, I like that. Adam says, well, the woman you gave me. If you hadn't given her to me, God, we wouldn't have had this problem. God is faithful. God is loving. God is at work in our circumstances. Continuing on, go back to verse 3. As His divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which we have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. He's given us these promises. He's given us this way of escape. He's given us the divine nature. He is at work in our lives. Praise God. Romans 8, beginning in verse 10, says, and if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Praise God. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised up Christ from the dead shall also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit that dwells in you. The very life that we have is a gift of God. You realize the wages of sin is death. We know that. You realize everything short of burning in hell right now is a gift of God, is the tender mercies of God. What do I have that I can't thank God for? Everything I have in my life is a blessing of God. The very life that I have, the breath that I breathe, everything is a blessing from God. So my life should be spent, your life should be spent glorifying and showing gratitude to the God who's preserved you, who redeemed you, who has bought you with a price, that we might walk in His ways, that we might do what He's called us to do, that we might be faithful witnesses in this generation. Because as we look in the newspaper, as we look on the television, as we just look out the window, we see a society, we see people around us needing Jesus, people around us in desperate need of salvation that don't even know it. But we've been called to be here in this time. Just like Esther, we've been called to the kingdom for just such a time as this. If God wanted you at a different place in time, guess what? He's God. He could have put you there. But He chose to put you here. He chose to put me here. It's kind of interesting. As you go around the state, as you meet different ministers from different parts of the state, how many ministers in this state are not from Vermont? Now, there's quite a few that are. Don't get me wrong. There's quite a few that are. But I'm from South Florida. The former pastor of this church was from West Virginia. I know a pastor from Texas. I know a pastor from Tennessee. I know a pastor from Ohio. I know a pastor from, he's from Benin, West Africa. I know a pastor from Uganda. I know a pastor from Nepal. God is calling people from all over. And this isn't the only state that has this. God is bringing people over. Jesus said that the prophet is not without honor except in his own city. So sometimes the very fact that people who knew you growing up have a hard time believing that you're not the person you used to be. That's why my old Navy buddies, when they find out I'm a minister, they're like, "You are a preacher? Let me tell you about the grace of God. Let me tell you that there's nobody God can't change. There's not a single heart, a single life that God can't change. And He desires that all should come to repentance. That He's called us to have. We stand in that confidence in Christ, knowing that it's nothing I did. It's not me. It's not you. It's the Holy Spirit of God working through you, because God has a plan and He wants to use you. He wants you to be part of it. Praise God. So when we face our failures, when we stumble, when we sin, the Scripture says that He is the one who is able to lift us up. He is the one who redeemed our life from destruction. We are redeemed. We got that. That's one of the songs we have on the 543, whatever I've got, downloaded songs. I stand redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I stand redeemed because of the great I Am. He is the one who chose me. I didn't choose this. I certainly never expected to be a preacher. Some of you, I think most of you have heard this. I was 12 years old. I was down in South Bay, Florida. I was in a sugarcane field trying to catch turtles in the irrigation ditches. Big turtles, Eaton-sized turtles. And I got bit by a cottonmouth moccasin and should have died. I sent my younger brother and my younger cousin to get help because I didn't want them to see me die. I knew I would be dead before help got there. And as I'm sitting there, and they've gone to get help, and the color fades out of everything so that there was only shapes, and then the shapes faded and there was only light, and I heard a voice say, "I've called you to preach my word." I was 12 years old. And then everything slowly faded back in. By the time my dad got there, It was 45 minutes later. I should have been dead. But God had a plan. Now, that absolutely does not mean that I followed Jesus 100% since then, because by the time I was hit age 17, my life was such a mess, I didn't know what to do. I couldn't pretend to be a Christian the way I was living, and I wasn't willing to continue to be a hypocrite when I knew better. And I left the church for 16 years. And when I'd finally made such a mess out of my life, I had no hope. I told God, I've always known you're real, but I've never known how to live for you. But if you can do anything with this life, it's yours. And from that point, January 27th, 1993, I've been following the Lord. From that point, He began touching me and changing me and turning me around. And yes, it took a long time to get to the point I'm standing here. But God is faithful. He didn't forget His promise from 1972. I sure didn't know it was going to go from 1972 to 1970 or to 1993 before I finally said, "Yes, Lord." I didn't know it was going to go to 2005, the end of 2005, before I agreed to take over as pastor of this church January 1st of 2006. But I know God has a plan and God is at work. And He works in each of us. He has a plan and path before us, and He uses us to be lights in the lives of other people. He uses us to be testimonies in the lives of other people. He uses us to be those trophies of His grace. I know you're worried that I can't fix you, but look what I did with this one. You think you're bad. Let me tell you about this. God is faithful. If the Spirit of Him, verse 11, if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. King James Version says He will quicken your mortal body, will give life to you. Praise God for His Holy Spirit. The confidence in Christ comes from knowing that it is not me. My weakness gets in the way. My weakness gets in the way when I try to fix it myself. My weakness makes the entrance for God's strength when I'm willing to submit it to Him. Lord, I recognize I can't do this, but I need You. Lord, I've made such a mess of my life, I can't do anything. But if You can do anything, it's all Yours. When we get out of the way, when we stand in our strength is inadequate. When we recognize that our strength is inadequate, when we recognize that we can't do it on our own, when we recognize that we can't do it, period, that it's if God doesn't build the house, unless the Lord builds the house, they that labor, labor in vain. And that's not just going out and putting up a structure. That's this life. Unless God runs this life, I'm just going to make a mess out of it. Verse 12, therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father, Daddy. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. So that's the second time we've talked about being heirs to the kingdom. Being heirs of heaven. Joint heirs with Christ. Not because of who I am. My confidence doesn't come from my own strength. My confidence doesn't come from my own abilities. My confidence doesn't come from anything I have any input on. My confidence comes from knowing that The God who created heaven and earth is paying attention to my life. He loves me. He redeemed my life from destruction. No matter what I go through, He is still God. He still loves me. He's still at work in the circumstances. And when I draw my last breath on this earth, I go into the presence of God in heaven. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And whatever happens between right now and that point, I want to dedicate it. I want to live it out that others may see the grace and mercy and love of God reflected in me, that He can hold me up as that trophy of His grace. Because He alone is worthy of praise. It's two more passages of Scripture. You can take your bulletin home and read them. I'm not going to read them right now. God has been wondrous. He has been merciful in my life. He has shown that He's paying attention. And He is worthy of praise. I can say with Paul, I know in whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed to Him until that day. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus, for making the way of salvation. Thank you, Father, for your plan before the foundation of the earth. Even in the garden, you talked about the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. All through Scripture, a prophecy of the coming Messiah, the prophecy of the coming redemption, God's salvation. The word we translate as Jesus, Yahushua, God's salvation. You made the way for each and every one of us. We couldn't even come to you except you drew us. We couldn't know Jesus. It says, the Scripture says, the carnal mind is at enmity with God, and it doesn't understand the things of God. Neither can it understand. So even the understanding that we have is a gift from you. Everything that we have, the very breath that we breathe, is a gift from you. All of our senses, all of our wants, all of our desires, everything about us, everything that makes us who we are, is because of you. You make each and every one of us unique. We are precious in your sight. Father, we just thank you. We thank you, Father, for your love and grace. Thank you, Father, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet your enemy, you made the way of reconciliation. While we were yet bound in our sin and lost and hopeless, you redeemed us. You rescued us. Father, we thank you. Lord, in each and every day as we go forward, our very lives are a gift from you, Father. Let us turn them back over to you, that your perfect will be done in this earth, in this body, in this flesh. Your perfect will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That you walk with us, that you work through us, that you enable us to be those faithful witnesses, that you continue to show us off as the trophies of your grace, that it might impact the lives of people around us who so desperately need you. And Father, we thank you for it. We give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening. For more information, visit glbc.org.